Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Wealth with myself, Brian Green. Get in touch with the programme by email, mentalwealth@briangreen.com. On today's programme, we're going to the RDS for Coolest Projects number 6. We're talking with Ben Chapman, Salem's Lady, Amanda Pyron of Barnardo's, Jason Killingsworth of Riot Games, and Ken Whelan of DCU Coder Dojo, all coming up on today's programme. Stay tuned. A glorious Saturday afternoon in Dublin, and I'm with Ben Chapman, co-founder of Coolest Projects with Coder Dojo. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Brian.
Tell us, how did the idea come about that you would get the best of what people are coding during the year and put it into a big show that has just become enormous?
So we originally came up with the idea when we had a meeting out in Intel in Leakslip with a guy called Paul Phelan. We'd been running a dojo in Dublin. Myself and Noel had been running a dojo in Dublin for a year and a bit at that point. And we realised that there was kind of a need to get the kids to work on something slightly longer term. So in order to get them to work on projects, we figured that an event would be the best way to do that, where they could present to other ninjas. And it also created an opportunity for ninjas to meet each other from different dojos, because that wasn't happening.
Tell me, this is a show all about mental well-being. How is coding good for kids?
So coding is good for kids because it gives them an outlet that, you know, a lot of people don't get in school. It gives them a chance for that kind of hard problem solving that maybe only mathematics gives most people. So it's really an opportunity for them to try something different that lets them express their creativity and the obvious problem solving skills involved.
Something one of the ninjas, a young girl coder, told me about 10 minutes ago in another interview was that it was great to be in Coder Dojo because she didn't necessarily meet people who had the same interests at school or the same abilities, so that they could kind of cross-pollinate and exchange things. How important is that kind of social aspect of Coder Dojo and kids' well-being?
So obviously, as you know, when you're growing up, it's very important to meet people with the same kind of interests and skills as you. So it's great to be able to give kids the opportunity to meet even more people than just in their local dojo to interact with each other.
Coder Dojo is very new. It's a little bit older than Coolest Projects. This is the sixth year of Coolest Projects, and it started ever so modestly in DCU many years ago, as you said.
In Intel, apologies.
And it's become so huge. How huge? Can you explain to the radio listeners how big this is?
Yeah, so this year we're taking up three halls in the RDS. Hall 1 and Hall 2 are where the projects are, and we have 587 projects from 18 countries.
I was going to ask you, so give us some of the spread, some of the countries that are here today, some of the flags being represented.
So just a couple of them, because I can't remember them all off the top of my head with so many, but we have people coming from as far as Australia and Argentina, and even more local in Europe, places like Hungary, Budapest, Italy, and even Scotland.
Everybody's smiling, and I get the impression that if you're in Coder Dojo from whatever country, from whatever county, from whatever community, you're in a Coder Dojo family, the larger family. There's great camaraderie between everybody.
Yeah, so community is very important to Coder Dojo and us at Coolest Projects, and we really like that we have the opportunity to get Dojo people who are involved in the wide Coder Dojo community together in one physical space. There's really only two events a year where that happens, this and DojoCon, so it's great to be able to facilitate that.
And DojoCon is, of course, for the mentors and the organisers of Coder Dojos all around the world to come together. Where is it all going? It's got huge. It's doing exactly what it said on the tin many years ago. Where do you see it going from here?
So I think from our point of view, Coolest Projects has been mostly focused in Ireland recently. This year we've had Coolest Projects in Romania and Belgium. So hopefully as we grow, we'll have the opportunity to grow into more countries and have a more international event where kids from all over the world can come together.
So Ben, finally, if you want to encourage somebody to get involved in Coolest Projects and their local Coder Dojo, how do they go about it?
So if you're not involved in a Coder Dojo already, you should go to coderdojo.com and just search on the homepage for your local dojo. So you can just find it by typing in your address. If you're already involved in a Coder Dojo and are interested in coming to Coolest Projects, check out coolestprojects.org for project ideas and how to get involved. Registration will be open sometime in late 2017.
Now, we're broadcasting in Dublin and Coder Dojos all over Dublin, but let's say you're listening on a podcast and there isn't a Coder Dojo in your area. How could you set one up yourself?
Absolutely. On coderdojo.com, there's full instructions about how to start a dojo yourself. Even if you're non-technical, if there are technical people in your area, call them, ask them to help. Most people involved in this industry are very, very generous with their time, and I'm sure we'll have no problem helping.
Ben Chapman, co-founder of Coolest Projects at the 6th annual Coventry Dojo's Coolest Projects. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brian.
I'm with somebody who is a big Minecrafter, but they're a bigger YouTuber, I think. Salem's Lady, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. This is amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. I walked around with Pete earlier, and I was speechless at what the kids have come up with and how they put it together. I couldn't do that. I could not do what they've done.
You're a YouTuber from the UK, but you're watched all over the world, are you?
Yes. Actually, my main audience is America, which is really strange, but yeah.
Let's get down to it. Minecraft is good for kids, is it?
It's amazing for kids. It is absolutely incredible. It's not just a game. It's used in education all over the world because especially kids who don't necessarily have great social skills, they've used that because they can sit there and play in silence, but their mind is still going and they're calculating and they're counting, and then they can talk to people about it, whereas they wouldn't usually talk to people like in general just for no reason. And it's incredible. It's a great way to communicate, to get kids to communicate.
What ages is it for?
Any age.
What, 3 to 90?
Absolutely, 3 to 100. You know, anybody with an imagination can play Minecraft and enjoy it.
And do you play online, or do you need to download software to a fixed computer, or how does it work?
There are actually different ways you can play it. There's you can play it on consoles, so you can buy the game from a shop and have it at home. Or you can buy it and download it at home on a Windows PC or a Mac and have it as an app. You can have it on a tablet. You can literally play it however you want to play it, like on any platform.
But it's learning through play and it's social, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the kids can just, they can build what they want. And again, if they want to make a house, they've kind of then got to think about what they're building, how many blocks they've put down to match the other side of the house that they've built. And they don't even realize that they're doing it. Do you know what I mean? But they're constantly learning because they're not thinking.
Would you have any numbers? How many people are Minecrafting around the world?
I would say everyone's a secret Minecrafter, let's be honest. And billions. I honestly have no idea. There's so many people. Most children I know who I've ever met in my life play some form of Minecraft.
You're with Mindvention, who are out of Belfast. Do you want to tell us about an event they have coming up?
Well, Mindvention in Belfast is on the 22nd and 23rd of July. And there's going to be some really cool YouTubers. A lot of my friends are going. Nettie Plays, Mousy Mouse, Martin Littlewood, Bigby Stats, just to name a few. And yeah, you guys can get the tickets online at mindvention.com. And it will be awesome.
play.mindvention.com if you're near the internet. And Salem Slady, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Down at Coolest Projects with Coder Dojo at the RDS in Dublin, and I'm at the Barnardo stand, and quite a wonderful stand it is. I'm with Amanda Pyron of Barnardo's. Hiya.
Hi Brian, how are you?
I'm good. Why are Barnardo's at Coolest Projects?
Well, this is the coolest place to be today, of course, and it's where all of the cool kids are doing these amazing projects. And Barnardo's is here to make sure that as children engage in a digital environment, that they're safe and that their parents are informed about what children need to be safe. Because this is such a great activity for kids and for their development, for their self-esteem and for their competence, that we want to make sure that as they do these wonderful things, that they're protected and that they have the information they need to be safe.
Is online something parents should be concerned about for their children?
I think we always have to be cautious as parents, and Barnardo's would advise that, you know, children need engaged parents to help them navigate a changing world, absolutely. But online is no different than the playgrounds were maybe 50 or 100 years ago, and that anything could happen to a child, but the opportunities outweigh the risks, and that children have such amazing opportunities now to develop their intellect, to develop their creativity, to develop, again, their competencies and their self-worth, that it's important that we engage in this and that we help children feel confident to move forward in the direction that kind of the world is moving in.
Dare I say it, when I was young, and maybe when you were young, we were out in the world and it was a very large community and space that we'd travel. And nowadays, young children don't travel so far within their playtime, and they've got a big virtual world to live in. Is that something that they need to learn about before they go out and travel in that world?
I think so. I think it's important for them to have a basic level of education, you know, about what they're signing up to. You know, I spoke earlier here about how important it was for us all to know what we agree to when we get onto digital platforms. And kids need to know, you know, what is Facebook? What is a gaming site where I can chat with other people? They need to know that they don't necessarily know who they're chatting to, that it could be someone very different than who that person's pretending to be. And they need to know that digital content lasts forever. It doesn't go away no matter what an app says. But again, the benefits far outweigh the negatives, I think, because for kids who may live in a rural area and feel like no one's like them, they can go on and they can find people who are like them, who have similar interests that they can make friends with and feel like they're part of a broader community. So you have to balance the risks with the opportunities. And constantly as parents, we're doing that in a lot of different avenues. And this is just another area that we have to do that in.
Is it something that with rights come responsibilities, so that maybe children should be immersed into that world slowly and with parental guidance and parental attendance as they get involved in online activities?
Absolutely. Again, it's very similar to any other kind of environment that we would onboard our children into. And I think it's important for parents to stay engaged, for them to know what their children are doing, who they're spending time with online, to constantly have those conversations, you know. Parents can do that. It's very difficult for us all to stay engaged with what the latest technology is or what the new fad is among students of a certain age. But it's important that parents keep those conversations open, that they ask a lot of questions, that they monitor their children's time, but that more than that, they're there to support them if something does happen, and that they are engaged with their child in a level that'll kind of encourage the child to come back to them with any issues that might come up in any platform.
If somebody does have an issue, they can get in touch with Bernardos?
Absolutely. Bernardos is always here to help. We have a website, bernardos.ie, where we have a lot of information on cyberbullying. We also do parent talks in the community and to schools. We do teacher talks. We do talks in classrooms for primary and secondary school kids. So we're very active in this space, wanting to make sure that the children have what they need to develop to their full potential and that they remain safe and protected as they do it.
Another thing that makes me sound old is that the internet, to my age group, can be a big beige or black box with a wire in it. Now, of course, it's the mobile phone is where most children will interact with the web. Mm-hmm. Is there any tips you'd have for mobile use or ownership?
Well, I think it's like a lot of different platforms that kids engage in. I think parents should monitor it to see that it's, you know, reasonable usage, and we wouldn't have a specific kind of time frame to give parents about what's reasonable. I think parents have to kind of gauge for themselves what makes sense in a moment. And that there's privacy settings and control settings on different apps that children are only allowed to engage with people that they know, for instance, or that they don't friend anyone that they don't know, that their privacy settings and location settings are turned off so that they're protected from complete strangers who might be nearby and kind of stalking them. And of course, we don't want people to think that way, but that's the reality that those things can happen. So I think you set the parameters, you put the safety controls on, privacy controls on, limit access as it's appropriate, and then you do your best after that.
That's very good advice. Age-appropriate use by the children with their parental guidance.
Absolutely, absolutely. And any ways that we could support family engagement in these. I mean, you look around Coder Dojo in this hall and you've got parents engaging with their children about the creation of all different types of apps and websites and games, and that's a terrific thing, you know, for parents and children to do together. So always look for opportunities to engage with your children.
That website again?
Bernardos.ie.
Amanda Parent, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian. It's been great to have you.
We're just at the end of the day at Coolest Projects number 6 in the RDS, and we've seen many Coder Dojo things. We're with one of the main sponsors here today, Riot Games, and Jason Killingsworth has joined me. Tell us a bit about your company and what you do.
So Riot Games is a company that develops a game called League of Legends. It's a competitive online multiplayer game that is played by roughly 100 million players each month, and here in Dublin, we look after all of the European players who play the game, make sure they're having a good time and promoting sportsmanship and just creating a joyful experience for those players.
This is radio, so nobody can tell the expression on my face is, and you can see it is, I'm not a gamer. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. But you're going to tell me, why is this good for kids and for older teenagers and for adults? What is it about gaming that is so good for us?
So gaming is a play space, you know, just like, you know, having a blank sheet of paper where you're playing with drawing. When you're in a video game, you're making creative choices all of the time. And so in a competitive game like League of Legends, one of the things that's really important to us is not just having players have a good time, but cultivating a sportsmanlike atmosphere where from an early age when kids are getting into the game around 12 years old, they're already learning how to cooperate with a team, learning how to win gracefully, lose gracefully. And then, of course, just even in the creative background to making the game, you know, programming and coding is always an integral part of creating these experiences. So we're here at Coolest Projects today trying to encourage kids and just promote what they're working on and celebrate them.
A lot about the social web is about time on site, and the big social networks try to get those numbers up. Gaming really does it well, time on site. So what is a good time on site per week for that is healthy for you? So obviously people might exceed that and shouldn't, but what is a good time on site for gaming?
So for us, that's not something that, you know, we're focused on directly. We want to create a healthy interaction with the game, but we're, you know, our primary interest is in how do we support these players, providing experiences that are genuinely rewarding. You know, we're not as interested in micromanaging exactly sort of what the, you know, the time allowances are, but we absolutely want them to, you know, we encourage just parents to, you know, help, you know, just keep a watchful eye on their kids' time and just use common sense, you know, in the same way that, you know, if they're watching movies, that parents should be aware of, you know, what their kids are watching with games. We think the same rules apply there. But while they are playing the game, we want it to be a really positive, rewarding experience for them.
Being a very established gaming brand, you must have all the bells and whistles when it comes to safety plugged in already into your system.
That's right, yeah. Absolutely. We want it to be a very positive environment for players, and you know, in any online game, when people are competing, you know, emotions are running high, and so we have teams that deal with player behavior. That, you know, one of our major publishing initiatives in Europe is sportsmanship, and we're going to be promoting those values here for, you know, for many years to come. So that's a key focus for us.
You've obviously met the Irish gaming community. What's your typical Irish gamer? Or can you say there is a typical gamer?
So, yeah, I mean, I think one of the very, if there's anything typical about gamers, is that there's a real passion. There's a passion for play. There's a passion for wanting to create, wanting to test the limits, wanting, you know, even see if they can break something. You know, there's a real interactive element to it that's, you know, it's a far cry from the real passive kind of entertainment where you're sitting slack-jawed in front of a television program, maybe. And there's good and bad television, but for a gaming experience, it's all about you're interacting with it, you're making decisions, you're coordinating with your teammates, you're talking in in-game chat, and then even just the mechanical hand-eye coordination of controlling the mouse and keyboard is something that I'm still getting a handle on, even all of these years into my gaming career. Yeah.
I used to do a lot of social radio, which was gamification of the music, so you were DJing to your friends, and they were DJing back at you. Is there a lot of kind of these tokens and scored points, and are those kind of the prizes within gaming, that they don't have any monetary value, but people really do get addicted to wanting to get that star or get that badge? Is that in your games?
So we try to do that. It's an element of all games because it's a reward loop where you're being challenged, you're trying to master some kind of mechanic, and when you do master that, a good video game is going to, you know, provide rewards that really make you feel good, that give you a little bit of a dopamine, you know, hit when you do that thing. Just like if you hit a home run in baseball, you're going to feel good when that ball sails over the fence. And we want to create those same experiences when people compete, you know, and achieve things in our game as well. So,
is there anything you can tell me about Riot Games users? Are they better looking? Do they score better IQ? what is it that they've got?
So people who play League of Legends are an incredibly passionate, creative bunch. You know, when you go to an event where there are a bunch of League of Legends players, I've been to a Gamescom, a gaming event, you know, in Cologne, Germany, and I've had, there was a kid who was maybe 12 or 13 years old, and he walked up to me and opened this bag, and he had all of these little bead things he had ironed together to create different video game characters, and he was going around and giving them to people who worked for Riot because he loved League of Legends, and he had been such an he had enjoyed that experience so much that he wanted to give back and respond with creativity in return. And so that's such a typical League of Legends player. You see that all the time. Just a real passionate, creative, sincere. You know, they want to master the game, and they bring that to everything they do. So.
And finally, your association with Coder Dojo here today. What does it mean for you to be in Dublin among these kids who are coding and could be potential employees of Riot Games?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we want to let them know that, that creativity, you know, they're already naturally creative, but using technology to create, whether that's apps, websites, these are things that they can start playing with now. You know, it's not something that they have to wait until they hit a certain age threshold. And so we want to promote that. We've been working with Coder Dojo since about 2015, just throwing our weight behind them because we believe in what they're doing. We love that they're getting kids into technology early. And the workforce is changing, and the types of jobs that are going to be essential in the years to come are going to require technological skills. And we want kids here in Ireland to be, well, and all over the world, but you know, we're going to work with kids here locally where we are to make sure that they're set up for that future.
If people want more details about Riot Games and League of Legends, where should they log on to?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, riotgames.com. It has a lot of information about the company. If you're interested in League of Legends, the game, that's leagueoflegends.com. And yeah, and if you put in Riot Games or League of Legends into your Google search bar, you're going to find a whole bunch of interesting things there.
So. Happy gaming. Jason Killingsworth, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
In the RDS, glorious Saturday afternoon, and I'm talking to the people that make an absolutely amazing event, and one of them is a Coder Dojo parent, come mentor, come organizer of Coolest Projects in its sixth year. Hello, Ken Whelan.
Hi, Brian. I'm very happy to be here again. This is my fifth time helping out with the event. So I initially got involved in DCU back in 2013 when I brought my son Ethan to the dojo for the first time, and it had a magical effect on Ethan. You know, it unlocked him totally and set him on a path where technology was the thing that he really loved, and he decided that he wanted to present at the Coolest Projects in 2013 in DCU, which he did, and it was a big deal for him because he was diagnosed with autism that year, so it was a tough year for him. But he presented his project to a room full of packed people. He enjoyed the day, and he's been coming back ever since, and has, you know, stepped up his interest in technology significantly over the past several years. His sister joined him in Coder Dojo, Kira, in September 2013, and she's been presenting at Coolest Projects ever since as well.
This whole Coder Dojo thing, it's been discussed on the radio before, but it has taken the world by storm now. It is a worldwide thing. In Coolest Projects number 6 today, there are many nations from around the world and many continents represented. How has it got so big so fast?
I think it's because it's truly inclusive. You know, Coder Dojo is there for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, you know, boys and girls, everybody is enabled to develop their ideas and interests through technology. And it's a great way for children who may not have interest in other areas like sport, or may not have an ability to play sport. It's a great leveler, because I heard a story earlier on today. Somebody says, at Coder Dojo, my wheelchair is invisible. And that's true, you know, because they're able to do the same things that all of the other kids are doing, and so much more. And I think that message has spread worldwide because it is so inclusive, and it's relevant to kids not only in Ireland, but, you know, around the world. It's free. It's an event, and that happens every week, where mentors give their time, and we can see the benefits from children, and, you know, that's replicated worldwide.
As a parent, just going back to that 2013, and you were thinking of getting involved, you saw a notice somewhere, and were you pensive? Were you kind of wondering, what is this all about? Will it be okay for me? And were then you obviously were overcome in a different direction, or were you feeling like that at all?
It's funny because Coder Dojo had come across my radar late in 2012, but I had kind of written it off because I figured it was a coding class for rich kids, and the classes would cost a fortune and we wouldn't be able to go. So I kind of, you know, hadn't pursued it in any way. And it was pointed out to me that actually classes were free. And, you know, there was no catches, there was no joining fees. It was totally free. So we brought Ethan to the coding class. And I have to say, I was apprehensive because at the time we weren't aware that Ethan had autism. But we knew that he had difficulties engaging in team sports and other activities where he would last half an hour and then he would be done. So the first half an hour in Coded Dojo was the key point for me, because when I asked him after half an hour, would you like to stay? He said yes. And we were there for another 2 hours after that point, you know, longer than the actual class lasted. He wanted to stick around and just see what was going on. So that was a really, really important turning point for him and for us as a family. You know, like Coded Dojo has had a major impact on our family in so many ways. You know, that was the germination of that.
You then went on to become a mentor yourself, and you're not a coder.
No, my coding skills aren't great, but I've been working in networking and computer technology for a long time. So I figured that if I could stay one step ahead of the kids, I should do okay. That's become harder and harder over the years, you know, because the kids have been, you know, doing projects that have more complexity. But I figured, you know, if you have the ability and you can help out in whatever shape or form, you know, it's a great way of actually giving back to the community, you know, because we've seen the benefits in Ethan and Kira, and I was only too happy to, you know, help out where I could.
Today is completely free. Everybody gives of their time as a volunteer. Nobody pays in on the door. I just want to focus in on that volunteering and give me some numbers. How many people make today possible, like in volunteer numbers?
Okay, we have over 200 volunteers here today. That's not including the implementation team that actually run the event, who are also volunteers. So, you know, we have upwards of a team of, you know, 250 to 300 people who actually make this event possible. You know, all giving their time and their efforts for free. We've been able to bring back people year on year who have helped us and who have gained experience at the event and have been happy to help us out, because, you know, they see the benefits for the members of their dojo. You know, we have people who aren't even involved in Coded Dojo but love the ethos of what we're trying to do here. You know, we're helping all kids, and they come and give their time freely as well, because, you know, there is no catch. There's no ulterior motive. We just want to bring kids to Coolz Projects, help them have the best day ever, and send them home happy. And that's it.
Ken, thank you very much for your time today, and congratulations with Coded Dojo Coolz Projects number 6.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Our thanks to Ben, Salem's Lady, Amanda Byron of Barnardo's, Ken Whelan of Coded Dojo GCU, and Jason Killingsworth of Riot Games. This has been Mental Wealth with myself, Brian Green. We're back next Tuesday at 12:30. If you want to get in touch with the programme, email mentalwealth@briangreen.com. Have a great week. Take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye.